You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
All right, real quickly, as we welcome you to hour number two of the show, just responding to what Hambone was asking there before we ran out of time. Barry, we've talked about this several times. Like, Pruitt on the sideline, flipping his lid, going bananas. Like, I can totally see it happening. I think you think he's going to be a little bit more calm. I don't see it being a huge problem this year. Now, if he's pulling the Butch Jones where, like, he's so worked up on the sideline that he
can't perform his
he can't manage the game.
Right.
That's an issue. Hopefully Pruitt doesn't get to that level, but I definitely see him being a passionate guy, chewing some rear ends, shall we say, on the sideline.
Sure. Very much champ-esque.
But you don't see it being a problem?
No.
Right now? Hopefully not. Yeah. All right, let's bring in Grant. Grant Ramey, GoVols247, at Grant Ramey on Twitter, joining us this afternoon on the show. Hello, Grant.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, doing well. Thank you. So you've got no practice today. It's nap time at the Ramey house. What, you've got a 4- and a 1-year-old right now?
It was nap time. Nap time ended a few minutes ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
The chaos is it's just getting ready to crank back up once they regain their bearings. It's like wrestlers coming down to the ring. You just kind of sit back and get ready for it.
They come back to life. All right, so we'll get you in and out of here quickly then. Yesterday, big scrimmage at Neyland Stadium for Jeremy Pruitt. He's very tight-lipped afterwards. I'm sure you've heard from some sources now. Is there anything you can tell us about what went on behind closed doors at Neyland yesterday?
It seems like, and this is kind of reading tea leaves the way Pruitt talks, that they're really not in a rush with this football team, as kind of weird as that sounds. I think when he came in and talked to us after the Orange and White game, he seemed kind of aggravated. You could kind of tell in some of the comments that he said that he wasn't very happy with the performance. But every time he's talked to us up to date, and including last night after that scrimmage, he's been kind of relaxed and kind of just seemed even keel about where his football team is. And it almost feels like they're only trying to kind of give this team as much as it can take, or kind of not move on without trying to cover too much ground, I guess, kind of doing whatever these players will let them do. So that's kind of been the biggest takeaway, is they're just kind of taking baby steps, and they're going to crawl before they walk and walk before they run.
Rick Barnes, who you cover as well, is famously an open book to the press. He'll tell you anything you want to know about his team, anything you want to know about how he feels about players and things like that. Do you feel that Pruitt, football coaches notoriously are more tight-lipped than their basketball counterparts, but it does seem like Pruitt, you know, after the Orange and White game, was not shy about calling out players, saying certain guys quit and stuff like that. But he's also, from my perspective, been more effusive with the praise here in the preseason. Do you feel like he's a pretty straight shooter in regards to, maybe he's not singling out specific players, getting too specific, but at least telling you how he actually feels?
Yeah, he's a guy that I don't think there's a ton of filter between his brain and his mouth. I mean, he's not an idiot. He's not going to say something that I think is going to get him crushed, but he's going to tell you what he thinks, and he's going to tell you what he thinks within the, you know, the parameters that he's not giving anything away. And like you said, with the praise, I mean, you go back to spring and we were counting the days and almost the weeks before he said a player's name, and we even asked him at one point, are you ever going to say a player's name in regards to their performance? And he said something along the lines of, if I say their name now, you know, how are they going to come out and practice tomorrow? And that's you brought up Rick Barnes, that's a very Rick Barnesian kind of comment. But he has kind of pointed to singling people out a little bit more during fall camp, and he's had a little bit more praise to go around. But he's not going to give anything away, because no college football coach in America is going to give stuff away. But if you ask him a question, he's going to tell you what he thinks. And if you ask him a question, he's going to answer it. I mean, he said last night that Juwan Jennings dove for a ball a couple days ago and had some kind of hyperextension. He didn't say what kind of what part of the body was hyperextended, but that's a lot of info in the college football world. And he said Chance Hall didn't play. Somebody asked him about Trey Smith. He said nothing's really changed there. So if you ask him a question, he'll give you an answer.
Butch Jones never would have admitted to Juwan Jennings hyperextending a knee. It would have, you know, hey, coach, I heard through the grapevine that Juwan Jennings may have hyperextended a knee. No, that didn't happen.
the thing with Butch, and, you know, people keep going back to Butch, the thing with Jeremy and the difference between these two, Pruitt's going to give you the answer, what he thinks, in 8 words, and Butch would dodge the question and use 800 words to dodge it. So Pruitt's going to get in and get out of a press conference. He's not going to waste anybody's time.
I would appreciate that in your shoes. It's like, listen, man, if you're going to BS me, if you're going to dodge my question, just make it short. Don't sit here and waste all of our time with a 2-minute, you know, soliloquy here.
Right, for sure. Somebody asked him last night something about maybe valuing a scrimmage over a normal practice, and he said something like, I mean, you want to be able to tackle somebody. You can tackle somebody in a scrimmage. You don't really tackle them in practice. If you want to be a good player, you have to be a good practicer, which I'm not even sure if that's a word, but it worked in that situation, and he was done answering, and he moved on.
I think you get a certain amount of license as a former high school football coach from Alabama. You can make up a word or two. Practicer, yeah, we know what you meant. I'm good with that.
Better than individual.
Indeed. Grant Ramey with us, GoVols247. You follow him on Twitter, at Grant Ramey. So talk about the quarterback situation. And from all accounts, Jarrett Guarantano is, you know, maybe not has this job on lockdown, but certainly seems like the leader for the quarterback job. And I can't help but think back to this time last year. We felt the same way about Quentin Dormady. And, of course, Butch Jones waited until game time against Georgia Tech to announce a starter. This might be a hard question to answer again because we're asking you to jump inside Jeremy Pruitt's mind, but do you feel like Pruitt will let it play out to the very last minute, kind of like Butch Jones did last year, or do you think he will, if Jarrett Guarantano goes ahead and wins the job, officially name him the starter at some point before the game?
If I'm a betting man, I think he lets it just play out because he doesn't have to name a starter. It's not going to change anything. And I think it's a situation where even if there is a little bit of separation, I'm not sure it's enough that whoever starts that first game matters. I mean, if you were at the open practice last week, if you've seen these two throw, Jarrett Guarantano does have seems like he has a stronger arm. There seems like there's more zip on the ball. Keller Chris will get the ball where it needs to go. It just doesn't seem to get there as fast as impressively as Jarrett Guarantano can do it. But I think what's going to decide this thing is the other factors. How well do you manage the offense? How well you manage your football team? Just who's the overall better quarterback? It's not going to be who has the better arm. But I think it's kind of like the situation like you mentioned last season. Quentin Dormady started. It didn't really matter because you knew both of those guys were going to play at some point. Neither of those quarterbacks were, you know, head over heels better than the other guy. I think that's the situation that's going to play out here. Maybe Jarrett Guarantano starts, maybe he doesn't, but I think both quarterbacks are going to get their shot on a game day.
Coming up on 2 weeks into fall practice here, what do you feel like at this point with less than 3 weeks to go till the West Virginia game now? What do you feel is the biggest question mark on this team?
Oh, man, there's so many of them. What this team's identity is going to be. They want to be a tough, physical football team. Obviously, they want to play the brand of defense that they played at Alabama, that Pruitt led at Alabama. They want to be a physical offense. Obviously, everybody's talked about the fullback the last couple of weeks. I'm bringing that back in the offense. But there's just so many question marks, it's hard to pinpoint one. Like, who's the quarterback going to be? Who's going to get the majority of carries or running back? Can Juwan Jennings come back and be the guy that he was in 2016, how can good the defense be in this 3-4 scheme? I mean, what's the rotation at defensive line? You know, who's on the field the most at linebacker? And then there's so many battles in the defensive backfield. There's so many question marks that, you know, I don't really blame them for not giving away anything in fall camp, because when you look at this team and what they did last year and who's leading them now, it's hard to figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
We had a good debate about this question last week here on the show. Which side of the ball, offense, defense, and they were so bad, you know, all the way around last year when you look at the numbers. which side of the ball do you think will be most improved this season?
I think defense, because I think it's to an extent easier to improve defense than it is to improve offense, and that's no, I don't know if that's disrespectful to defensive coordinators. Sounds like it makes their job easier or something, but when you look at what Jeremy Pruitt's done over the last decade, I mean, he's, you look at the stats, he's proven that he's an elite defensive mind. I think it's easier to come in and be successful on that side of the ball. He's hired a really good coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball, so I would go with him.
All right, Grant, we hear the youngins stirring in the background, so I'm going to get a basketball question in. We'll let you run. Just what are you hearing about summer workouts? Obviously, Tennessee will have a big target on their back this year, and there's some – it looks like the entire league is improving. What are you hearing just about summer workouts? Anybody standing out? Any nuggets you can drop on us? And then just your take on the Trey Mann situation.
I'm not neglecting my children, by the way. That's just the four-year-old messing with the one-year-old. It's the whole backseat situation.
Yeah,
so nobody out there called Child Protective Services on me. Off-season-wise, it seems like this basketball program's in a really good spot. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it. As much chemistry as they had as a team last year, it seems like they've built on that over the off-season. They brought in a guy like DJ Burns, obviously, that could help the team, could redshirt. Kind of have to wait and see how that plays out, but they're in a good place. I think they have really good leadership with Admiral Schofield and Grant Williams and those kind of guys. And I think Jordan Bone's a guy that he was as devastated as anybody after that Loyola Chicago game, and he didn't really, I don't think he lost that game for him, but they hit that shot over him to win that one, and he was as devastated as anybody after that. I don't know if I've ever been in a locker room where somebody was as down as he was that day, so I think he's had a very motivated offseason. There's a lot of questions, though, going into the season. Are they good enough at point guard? Do they have enough consistency or depth? Obviously, they didn't bring anybody in back there in the 2018 signing class. But by all accounts, it sounds like they're in a really good spot and building on what they did last season. As for Trey Mann, that's a really hard situation to figure out. Him and C.J. Walker, I think they exploded as much as anybody during the spring and summer evaluation period. And Tennessee was in a really good spot with him. I mean, going back for a while now, he had a Final Three of Kansas, Tennessee, and Florida. And it felt like Tennessee was ahead of Florida, and both of those two were ahead of Kansas. So it's interesting to see where he goes with his reopened recruitment. Obviously, he got a North Carolina offer not long ago, and he's going to visit North Carolina next month, and there's talk about maybe a second visit to Tennessee now that they've changed the rules and you can do more. So Tennessee gets him back on campus, that would be a pretty telling sign, but we're just going to have to wait and see.
All right, good stuff. Grant, always appreciate your time, my man. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks, man.
Grant Ramey, GoVols247, at Grant Ramey on Twitter. And, that's the scuttlebutt with Trey Mann is, okay, what a roller coaster recruitment this has been. So it looked like Tennessee's in good shape. Then he pushes back the announcement, oh, we're not in good shape anymore. Then I'm not going to take the Kansas visit. We're in good shape again. Then North Carolina comes in. Oh, no, not good shape anymore. Now the scuttlebutt is, yeah, he's going to go visit North Carolina next month. But due to an NCAA rule change, he's going to be able to take a second official visit to Tennessee. You can now take an official visit your junior year of high school and one your senior year of high school to the same college. Right. So that could potentially be huge if you convince him to do that. And he goes to Chapel Hill. I'm sure he's going to be wowed. Who wouldn't be? If you can convince him to hold off and Tennessee gets the last official visit, like I feel like that would be...
Feel pretty good that they get him?
Well, again, I just say as it stands right now, and I know this blew Penny's mind last week, but I feel like it's logical. As it stands right now, where would you rather go if you're an elite point guard prospect? To North Carolina? All those banners aren't going to develop you. You know, the other McDonald's Americans on the roster aren't going to develop you. You come to Tennessee, you're going to be playing in a great league against great competition for a great coach, a proven developer of talent. And I feel like it's pretty darn equal.
You got a chance to start at point guard for a team that's loaded.
Yeah, I mean they're begging you to come. I mean
preseason number three.
Who's to say you go to North Carolina? Who's to say they don't sign a five-star the year after? And if you're not a one and done, all of a sudden you're competing for playing time with. It's probably not going to happen here, right? So I just feel like Tennessee in some ways has the advantage there, but prospect might not see it that way. Take a quick break here on The Drive. John Bryce has dropped a Bryce Brom this afternoon. Bryce Baum? Bryce Brom?
Bryce has?
Baum Bryce.
Bryce yeah. Baum.
Bryce Brom. A Bryce Baum.
Yeah, that's it.
Reports from the scrimmage as he's uncovered some things, including a quarterback not named Garantano, who might have shined a little bit yesterday. We'll tell you what John Bryce is reporting when we continue next here on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville. Come out and see us tomorrow. We're going to be live at Jets Pizza in Farragut all day from 10 a.m. with Talk Sports, Trey from 1 to 3, and us from 3 to 6. It's a gear up and get on the bus remote at Jets Pizza in Farragut. They've got a full bar. They've got delicious pizzas in every style, sandwiches, salads, breadsticks, everything. It's fabulous. You got to come see us tomorrow. Jets Pizza right next to the Shrimp Duck and National RX. Kingston Pike and Farragut. Again, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow, all day here on Fan Run Radio. We're back with more after this.
The Drive.
Thanks for hanging with us. Now, let's get back to The Drive.
The Docket. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, they'll come to you. Visit their website at reckintoacheck.com. Now, to The Docket.
Police have arrested two more suspects in the burglary of Nebraska football coach Scott Frost's home. A 16-year-old boy was identified and lodged at the Youth Services Center last week after the arrest of a 17-year-old girl who possessed one pair of the five sets of shoes reportedly stolen July 29th. Also, 20-year-old Andrew Williams was arrested Saturday on a burglary charge. According to Lincoln Police, investigators have recovered several pairs of shoes, but continued to search for additional items. A UCF helmet and other memorabilia were listed in the initial police report, in addition to 14 championship rings that Frost had collected from his time as a coach at Oregon and UCF, as well as a player at Nebraska. The rings were later found at the home. The items that remained unrecovered before the arrest were reported to be valued around $50,000. I feel like we've covered this for a It's like $50,000 worth of stuff. I feel like we've covered this in depth, man. We had the initial thing on the docket, the 17-year-old girl they popped last week, and now this. Can we close this already? Like, I hope.
So basically, the neighborhood kids ripped him off.
I hope he gets all his stuff back. I really do, but this, I'm through talking about this. Are we done now? Like, unless they find a 6-year-old. It's like got all his championship rings or like the signed UCF helmet or something, then maybe we'll talk about that. But I'm good with the Scott Frost robbery story. You guys?
I'm good.
All right.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in Baltimore, an attorney representing the family of Maryland offensive lineman Jordan McNair told ESPN on Sunday that coach DJ Durkin should be fired as a result of McNair's death from a heat stroke suffered during a May workout. In a sit-down interview at the offices of Murphy, Falcon, and Murphy in downtown Baltimore, Billy Murphy said McNair's death could have been prevented, saying the coaching staff showed, quote, absolute indifference toward McNair's life. The 19-year-old from Randallstown, Maryland, died on June 13th, 2 weeks after he showed signs of extreme exhaustion and difficulty standing upright while running a set of 110-yard sprints. Murphy said there are three reasons why Durkin should be fired. Number one, what he did. Number two, what he didn't do. And number three, the impact on this football program. Murphy said they're leaning toward filing a civil lawsuit in federal court, but that their preference would be to wait until the university's external investigation is finished, which is expected to be done around September 15th.
I wonder why they haven't, and maybe they will, but reports that I had seen were that Martin went down, like went down as in started seizing at like 4:57 or 5 o'clock, and the ambulance didn't arrive
for like an hour.
An hour. So yeah. When does it cross over from, you know, just complete indifference in a criminally negligent homicide?
I don't know.
They killed that kid.
Yeah, it seems like he should have had major medical attention. But, you know, I heard the three and out guys talking about this, you know, in football, for those of us who weren't in that world, at that level, it's a different world. And dudes are falling out, passing out, and stuff like that happens.
Yeah, but that shouldn't happen anymore. And when a player falls out, he should get immediate medical attention.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, the Junction Boys and Bear Bryant and whatever crazy stuff. You don't do that. Like, there's proven science. I mean, that's why most universities, you know, there's hydration stations?
Yeah.
All around the practice field. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's like I go to, and I know this is a different type of situation, but the Emmanuel Negedu situation here, like 10 years ago, where he's working out and falls out during a workout, and thank the good Lord, there was a trainer standing by, and they had the defibrillation paddles like right there, or he would have died. Like if the dude hadn't been there to resuscitate him, Jason McVay. If he hadn't been there to resuscitate him, or was it Chad Newman? I can't remember
which one it was
like right there, and boom, he falls out, and they got the paddles on him within 2 minutes or something. I mean, it was crazy. I've got some thoughts on the Maryland situation I want to get to here in just a little bit. But first, I want to get a call from Buster. Remind you that the docket is brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell, the official law offices of The Drive. You check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com. OEB. They'll come to you no matter where you are and turn your wreck into a check. Buster, thanks for hanging, buddy. You're on The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville.
I got you back.
What's up, man?
Hey, for the upcoming season, we're going to have the three amigos, right? I mean, I've not heard the third person in the last few weeks.
You talking about
Trace?
Chance?
Yeah, Chance.
Chance Chancellor?
He'll be around some. I was just thinking about him during the break. We need to get him back involved here with the Drive. So he's got another primary gig. You know, he's out there making that big money. But I think he wants to be involved, so hopefully we'll get him back in soon.
Yes. Is there a certain day we're going to have Grant on the station on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday?
You know, we don't have him. I mean, that's the first time we've talked to Grant Ramey in several months. I don't know that he wants to be seen with us or heard with us on a weekly basis, but we will try to get him involved more often.
Buddy of mine, Maryville, loves 24/7. So
yeah, does a great job.
I just use you guys, you know, because I'm Laurel.
We appreciate it, Buster.
Listen, guys, everybody needs to buy their tickets ASAP for Catholic and Maryville.
Big game.
My wife listened to the game, and her girlfriend has a lot to do, class of 66 at Catholic High, so they feel like they got hoodwinked a year ago. So I appreciate Phil and Bear. And my daughter went to school there and graduated 2008. So, I think they're going to have a problem having tickets for sale on Friday night. But I would recommend everybody in K-Town and Maryville who cares about football. I think this is going to be a pretty hype moment Friday night.
Oh, man. You talk about, I mean, is this the game of the year? I mean, I know Maryville Alcoa is big. What are Maryville play Oak Ridge this year? What are some other big games in the local high school scene? This is it, right? This is the biggest one of the year. Did they play Fulton?
No. Catholic Fulton? every section of town has their great games. I mean, the Hardin Valley's this coming week on Thursday, I guess. But high school sports is pretty cool, and we all come together on Saturday with Tennessee.
Absolutely. Buster, thank you, man.
One thing.
Yeah.
I really do think eight wins is possible. I'm glad to hear yesterday we're going to play freshmen and sophomores. Listen, I'm a senior man in my operation, and I like to have my younger drivers try to push my envelope because I'm old school guy. I listen to NASCAR or to football to get my Kool-Aid this time of year when I get back from vacation because we're going into the peak season with Christmas and stuff. But, you know, the ideology of people and being pushed, I'm glad to see that the coach is playing freshmen and sophomores. We're getting this thing straightened out.
Buster,
we're going to win this game in West Virginia.
Buster, it's like Salt and Pepper said. You got to push it. Push it real good. Thank you, Buster. Appreciate the phone call. You ever heard of Salt and Pepper, Brandon?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you just saying yeah?
No.
You like them?
What else did they do?
Let's see. Do they do Shoop?
Shoop-a-doop.
Shoop.
Bob Shoop's theme song.
Yeah, they did that one.
What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
Yeah.
Who'd they do that one with? Famous 90s girl group.
En Vogue.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're never going to get it. Never, ever going to get it. Salt and Pepper were sexy.
How do you know who Salt and Pepper is, but you hate on TLC?
I know who they are. This is not my kind of music. I didn't own the Salt and Pepper album either, but they were pretty big. It really bothers you that I'm not a TLC enthusiast, doesn't it?
I just don't know why you wouldn't enjoy their music. I celebrate their entire catalog.
I'm sure you do. That's cool. That's cool. All right, you want to get some of these Bryce bombs in?
Yeah.
You ready?
Hit me.
John Bryce, Gridiron Now. I guess he's talking to his sources that were in the scrimmage. This is some good stuff. You ready, Brandon? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Some nuggets. Some juicy nuggets. You got some ketchup ready? Because you're going to want to dip these nuggets in ketchup. They're so juicy. Actually, I don't dip my nuggets in ketchup. I'm more of a barbecue sauce or honey mustard
Polynesian
guy. Okay, I'm stalling. On with the Bryce bombs. John Bryce writes that Keller Chris unleashed, quote, his most assertive performance of camp per people familiar with the Vols' 100-plus play scrimmage. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, ho, ho. How about that?
Oh, my God.
Chris had multiple touchdown passes during the intra-squad work against both the Vols' opening 11 and second-team defense, including a deep strike to Jordan Murphy and a connection with Brandon Johnson, who took the pass, juked a defender, and outrun the defense to pay dirt. Murphy, per witnesses, also had a dazzling play where he adjusted to a pass from redshirt sophomore Jarrett Garantano for a long gain. See, I don't know what to make of that, man. I've talked myself into the fact that Garantano is going to be the guy. Now I'm told that Christ is flashing behind closed doors in the scrimmage. I don't know what to do with that. I won't say disappointed, but I'm almost like it takes me back to where we were this summer when we didn't know. Like, we'd all pretty much penciled Garantano in the past week or so, right? Based off everything we've heard since that open practice?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically his job to lose.
Bryce says Garantano made some plays with his legs as well. Bryce says each quarterback was victimized by a newcomer in the Tennessee secondary on interceptions that were as much about sterling defensive efforts as anything else. Bryce Thompson picked off Christ while Trayvon Flowers snagged an interception off a Garantano toss. Alante Taylor and Baylen Buchanan got opening nods at cornerback per multiple people on hand, which is kind of goes along with everything else we've been hearing. Along the offensive front, Drew Richmond and Marcus Tatum got the opening work at the tackle spots while Brandon Kennedy continued to increase his command of the offense at the center position. Tight end Dominic Wood Anderson struck against the defense for a long gain while all three tailbacks, Ty Chandler, Tim Jordan, and Madre London, had some bright spots. In red zone work, Jordan showed good burst around the edge to dance into the end zone. That's per John Bryce at gridironnow.com. Notes from the scrimmage yesterday in Neyland Stadium. I like the stuff about Jordan Murphy and Brandon Johnson. I mean, if Murphy is balling out, I think both those guys are kind of focusing on the slot. That's pretty good stuff. I like the stuff about Garantano making some plays with his legs as well. Oh, this Flowers kid, man. Everybody, we talked last week about how, Nigel Warrior not exactly has a starting job wrapped up. Right. And we're like, oh, you know, does Theo Jackson come along? He flashed in the spring game. Does Todd Kelly come back alongside Abernathy? Like, what's the situation there? That Flowers kid, in all the video I've seen, and I watched him a little bit in that open practice, that's a good-looking prospect, man.
You think so?
Yeah, you all don't? Right. I mean, I think
I don't know anymore.
What do you mean?
Because after the past 10 years, I'm totally in a wait and see mode on some of these guys.
Well, here's a hunch, and I haven't talked to anybody to tell me this, but they're obviously going to play Alante Taylor a lot, right?
Yeah.
And they're obviously pushing Bryce Thompson to get ready quickly. And they obviously like Flowers. To me, it just seems like he's a guy that wants, I don't say play his guys, but not afraid to play freshmen. If he doesn't like what he inherited on this roster, he's going to play the young guy. If he feels like all things are equal, it's Todd Kelly and Trayvon Flowers. One guy's a fifth-year senior who's played a lot of football. The other guy's a true freshman. If he feels like it's equal, he's going to play the freshman.
Yeah.
Because the senior ain't going to be here next year when he wants to win. So if either guy is just as likely to take a lump here or there, then you might as well give it to the kid who has longer to develop.
So by his third year, he's going to be –
Yeah, or by his second year, or by the end of the first year, you know? I mean, I don't know. That kid looks good. And I just wonder, you know, he's the baseball player, right? And evidently they told him that, yeah, you can go play baseball.
What?
If he ends up starting games as a true freshman, he ain't playing no baseball this spring, man.
No.
I hate it for him. And I hope he does. I hope I'm wrong, but we've seen this movie before a lot over the years, right? Whether it's
kind of crazy. I mean, Florida State let famous Jameis play baseball.
I mean, Dobbs was a great baseball player. Jermaine Copeland.
Yeah,
like,
he didn't get to play baseball.
Yeah, and it feels like there have been a couple of others. Kelly Washington had played pro baseball, so he couldn't play. It was so weird to me how, like,
do you imagine digging into the batter's box with Dobbs on the mound? I'd be worried something he'd lose control.
Was he a pitcher? I thought he was an outfielder or something.
I thought he was a pitcher. I may be wrong. Infrequently I am.
Stay with us. It is The Drive here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Coming up, I want to get back into the situation at Maryland and what Will Muschamp had to say over the weekend and a couple other things for you as well. More college football talk coming up on The Drive. Stay with us.
The Drive. Mama told you there'd be shows like this. This is The Drive.
Fox Sports Knoxville, The Drive continues. So, situation at Maryland is pretty interesting, and this story broke like right after we got done Friday, right? We didn't talk about this, and it's one of those things where I go home and, are you spilling water all over the place, man?
Yeah.
Be careful, dude. Fan-run studios, man. I'm trying to keep things nice.
All right, carry on.
By the way, there are way too many lights flashing over there. Like, you know how, like, ADD, we were talking about, like, people being on the spectrum. We're all on the spectrum somewhere. I'm on the spectrum. Those lights are driving me nuts, man. Can you see this, Brandon? Like, Bear's got his back turned. You see all these lights flashing? We've got, like, modems and sound processors and everything. It's too much for me. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah, that would be a little distracting.
It's so distracting. Can we put... Are you getting that board? Can you put the... Or are you just like going to the bathroom or something? What are you doing? Where'd he go? We're just doing a radio show. Bear just like gets up and walks off. He does this all the time. I have no idea what he's doing.
I've noticed he does it on a remote a lot.
Are you going to cover it with a paper towel? I was going to get like that board and just put it in front of it. Oh, no. He's cleaning up his mess.
The water I spilled near your computer.
Okay. That's probably pretty good. Oh, did you get it on my computer?
No, I didn't get it on your computer. I'm not Chance.
You did, man. I was sprinkles.
No,
look.
Didn't. You're crazy.
I don't see what I see.
No, you don't.
It's okay. It's okay. You got a little water.
What you
on
want?
My
you
laptop.
Want me to get a board? Really? It's bugging you that bad?
I'm telling. I'm easily distracted, man.
You've
I got
some serious
you're,
issues.
He
you're
asked
spilling
you to get
stuff on the. There's lights flashing.
Bear, the boss man asked you to get a board to cover it up, and you,
it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
Insubordinate.
Let's move on. Wow. Wow. Brandon Orrick.
What, you think as everybody's listening on won't come over there?
Easy, boys. You get along here. So the situation in Maryland breaks as soon as we get off the air on Friday. Do we have one more break? This breaks as soon as we get off the air on Friday. And my first reaction is... You know, there's so many of these situations, and everybody just, boom, we always rush to jump, fire him. Gotta fire him. He's gone. It's unacceptable. I don't know, maybe I'm getting skeptical or something. I want to pump the brakes. Like we said in the docket, the worst thing in that report is that they let the kid languish for an hour before they called the medics. That's the worst thing. Other stuff in there, like the language. Like Dan Hawkins said, it's D1 football. Oh, he slapped a tray out of some guy's hand in a meeting room. Yeah, it's socially unacceptable, but it's D1 football. Like throwing a barbell, stuff like that sounds a little weird. It sounds like maybe the strength coach, their conditioning program is a little bit off the deep end. Everything else to me, though, sounded like stuff that we've heard, whether it's Butch Jones or Nick Saban or Will Muschamp or Derek Dooley, Lane Kiffin, crazy football guy stuff, man. These guys are all nuts. It's just the way they are. Heard the guys on 3 and Out talking about it this morning. The story about Nick Saban when he's with the Dolphins, stepping over, the dude falls out, is just lying there lifeless on the practice field, just passed out, not even conscious. Nick Saban literally steps over him and goes right on with practice. I'll never forget the first scrimmage I went to back in the early 2000s over at Tennessee. We're in Neyland Stadium, and they're scrimmaging on the field, and some poor guy like breaks his leg, man. Bad injury. You can hear him screaming from up in the stands. And I'm thinking, oh my God. You know, they're going to bring an ambulance. We're going to stop everything and, like, get this guy medevaced out to – I'm talking within a minute. Fulmer is, all right, we're going to the other side of the field, on with the scrimmage. Meanwhile, they've got doctors, like, they're breaking out the air cast, like, working on this dude. He's, you know, his season's over. He's, you know, people are praying with him and everything. They're running plays on the other side of the field, man. It's cutthroat. There's no love in this business.
Well, I feel like there's a difference between, you know, somebody tearing a knee up, even breaking a leg, and then there's stuff like what happened to the young man at Maryland, and like more serious, like when Inky Johnson got hurt, for instance, and it was touch and go. A lot of people didn't realize that, but it was really touch and go. He could have easily died on the field that day. And I feel like, and that's my biggest issue with him is, you know, I can handle all the stuff you were talking about, but once a young man falls out and starts seizing, has a seizure, you have to get an ambulance there as fast as possible and get the kid to the hospital.
Absolutely. So I wonder if DJ Durkin is going to be able to survive this. Because he's probably not going to be sitting there supervising an off-season conditioning workout. And you can certainly say, okay, well, he's the head coach. The buck stops with him. He hires the strength and conditioning guy. I don't know, man. I just find – DJ Durkin was one of the guys that John Curry allegedly interviewed. He was on Curry's short list. I don't know if he was ever going to get the job or if it ever get that far. And then Curry almost gets the Maryland job, but he doesn't because it goes to the Georgia red panty guy. And it's just like –
Imagine walking into that.
What a train wreck, man. What an absolute train wreck.
Well, you know what tree Durkin's off of, don't you?
Did he work with Urban Meyer? I know he was at Florida with Muschamp. And he was at Michigan, right? Did he ever work directly with Urban Meyer?
Pretty sure he worked directly with Meyer at Bowling Green back in the day.
Okay, I'll have to go look at that. I don't know. The only thing that surprises me, and there are probably going to be lawsuits about this. You heard it on the docket. Family's already threatening. The dude fell out. Is hyperventilating for like an hour, and you don't get him medical attention. That seems pretty weird, and to me, in a gross.
There's a big difference between hyperventilating and seizing.
Is there? I don't know.
Yeah, hyperventilating is where you stick a paper bag, get somebody breathing a paper bag, and get them to slow down on their breathing.
I read it to sound like he couldn't catch his breath. Like, he wasn't actually having a seizure.
He started seizing.
Okay. Well, he read it differently. Obviously, he needed attention right away. One other thought on this, and we'll get our break. What does it say about football culture that head coaches are always touting their assistants as, quote, good husbands and good fathers? You see this all the time. Jeremy Pruitt talks about, oh, my staff, good husbands, good fathers. Will Muschamp in his defense of DJ Durkin. I know what a good husband he is, what a good father he is. Is that not strike you as odd? I don't hear that kind of language in any other business. It's a younger staff here at Fox Sports Knox, so I think Nate's the only other guy here who's married. It wouldn't occur to me to say, oh, yeah, Nate Hodges is – he's a good husband, a good father. He is. Of course he is. Yeah. But I wouldn't say that. Like, it's just something that I kind of take for granted because most guys are. Most guys are good husbands, good fathers. What does it say about football culture that, like, that always has to be verbalized?
I mean, I heard a conversation on a national show about the NFL Hall of Fame. And if we need to go to break, we're going to break. I can get it on the other side.
No, we're starting the music. Go ahead.
Just that, you know, who's the guy? Is it Darren Sharper? Is he the one who's in jail for rape?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
It was one of those guys who's actually in jail for, I believe it's rape.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking, and it was somebody that played in the NFL. It was one of the Sunday shows. I'll have to go back and try and find it. Basically said that shouldn't disqualify him from the Hall of Fame.
I don't know, man. I don't know what to do with that. That's glad I don't have to make that decision. I guess, can you separate the player from the life off the field? Does OJ deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Does Ty Cobb deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
I mean, Ty Cobb doesn't. He bet on baseball.
Stay with us. The Drive rages on. Fox Sports Knoxville back with more after this.
The Drive.
Participation trophies. No life championships. Only alphas listen to The Drive.
But you talk about Champions League coming up. Westchester, where are you? We have Fuller and Chase are confirmed. By the way, typical Drive story here.
No.
Okay. Yeah. You're so removed from this situation. So we had the situation with Chase last week. Like, we lost Chase's phone number. Or begging for him. He finally calls in last week and we're like, oh, yeah, we got Chase. What's your phone number? We get his phone number, everything. I go to schedule the What You Talk About Champions League contestants day. I still don't have his number. I didn't write it again.
No, I'm on my way here.
And we lost it again.
My phone beeps. Look down. It's a text from Dubs. I was at a stoplight. I wasn't looking at my phone. And it says, hey, do you still have Chase's number? I'm like, no. I wrote it down and handed it to you. I don't.
But you did have it, thankfully. Yeah,
because I know him.
What's weird is I called him earlier and left a message, and he hasn't hit me back. And I just tried to text the number, and it sent it back, said invalid number. Oh, I've got to resend using the 10-digit mobile code. All right, whatever. We'll text him again here during the break. Westchester, we need you, buddy. If you don't call, I'm going to call Josh the alternate. Don't make me use the alternate on the first day, Westchester. You are the first one to qualify for Champions League. Where are you at? Do you think it's because it's a voicemail? He just didn't listen to it? People don't listen to voicemails sometimes.
Oh, we got some breaking news.
We've got about a minute, man. Do you
hit it? Yeah,
all right. Let's go to the Fox Sports Knoxville breaking news desk this afternoon.
Russ, the National Football League's Denver Broncos have signed linebacker A.J. Johnson.
Really?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You think he'll be able to make the team? Like this.
He might be. I mean, how long's it been?
He hasn't played in 4 years, and he's, what, 2-3 weeks late to training camp? That's a tough
he
spot.
He might. Man. I don't know.
That's a tough spot. Maybe it's one
I
of those things
at,
where
– at the Orange and White game.
Yeah.
And he looked like
– he's still in good shape. Maybe it's one of those things if – can he – if he still – if he shows enough athleticism, maybe they say, you know what, this dude's a player – we're going to put him on the practice squad this year and just stash him. And then
let him get back into football shape.
Yeah, let him get back to playing condition and then play him next year. Okay, well, it's interesting. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up.